Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. This is where the action gets intense. This is where this turns into an all-out brawl. And folks, this is going to be one of the most electrifying shows in all of sports entertainment. Once again, my name is Scott Clayton, your host for this evening. And folks, this is going to be a great show. We got coverage on the Rumble. And folks, before we get cracking, I just got to introduce you to a friend of mine. Folks, here he is, live with Blog Talk Radio. This is your host for the evening, Travis Bauhar.
A wonderful interview. Thank you so much. Quite a wonderful introduction there. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be a first time for yours truly, so it's going to be an exciting ride, I think.
Oh, yeah. We do have some fun things planned, like remember the Rumble fun facts. We're not going to get to that just yet.
Yeah, I guess you're going to save everything for last, huh? There's always
yeah,
going to
save
the crescendo for the end.
Yeah, you got to save it for the Rumble, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure, because there wasn't any other surprises that were given to us tonight as much as I would have liked, but, nah, whatever.
We got one, but, I mean, we're going to save that for the Rumble fun fact because it's actually one of the best fun facts I could have came up with because there's just a lot to remember about this Rumble, but they're more WTF moments than
sure. Actually
that we could remember.
I think I might have
Let's start with the pre-show. We're going to go with the match I like to call the waste of time that I could have went on my potty break, and that was the six women tag team match that it was really a waste of time.
You know, I can't really sit and call it necessarily a waste of time, only because that's my girlfriend's favorite wrestler was in that match, so I think that would be a little bit of a punishment on her part to say, oh, no, you know, I thought that match was boring or anything like that. So I'm not going to say it was boring, but will I say that it was not up to standard? Probably not, but I felt really bad, though, for the SmackDown brand, not just for the women, but overall, because what? There was only, including that match, if we want to include the kickoff show, there was only two matches for the whole SmackDown brand. Yeah, and then there was four, I think, for Raw. So, well, if you want to count the Cruiserweight match for Raw, that's five. So, it wasn't something that I was happy with.
You know, we'll get to the Cruiserweight match because, actually, you know what? We'll go on a rant when that comes, and you probably want to hear this rant because I'm not too happy with the Cruiserweight division. But moving on, we're going to the WWE Tag Team Championship match, or should I say the first match for a title to ever change hands on a kickoff show.
I mean, hey, there's a first time for everything, and I mean, I'm not going to hate on that change. Too sweet me, brother. I'm cool with it. I mean, it takes the good brothers to get some there, so I'm cool with this. I love it.
Yeah, especially the two ref thing. I figured a ref bump would – which
but,
I'm like,
I mean,
two
overall,
referees, one of them are going to get bumped.
But at the same time, it wasn't – even though it was pretty much a given – still, it was one of those situations, though, where it was like, well, okay, this is kind of the first time where they've had the literally two generic referees as opposed to the, what I call the Mike Tyson rule, where you've got the one referee who is the official referee of the match, and then you have the quote-unquote special enforcer, This time around, we actually got the two legit refs, which I think, yeah, I think that is the first time they've ever done that overall that I can recall. So, yeah, that was a first. I don't think it's something they should do in commonplace. But beyond that, the match itself was put together very well by all four guys.
Yeah, I mean, it was true ring psychology at its finest. I mean, the heels went over perfectly. You couldn't have asked for anything better to give Anderson and Gallows the tag team titles that they deserved ever since they came in there. And finally, they are not squash monkeys to the New Day.
No. And that was pretty much what they were floundering upon. I mean, we were almost talking about ascension level status for the Good Brothers, which, by the way, I'm going to keep referring to them as that because I still feel like that's not a trademark tag team name for them over in Japan. Why, for some reason, they don't go with that as a tag team name is still beyond me. Anderson and Gallows just sounds so generic. I mean, it's just like Cesaro and Sheamus. I'm not a fan of generic team names, especially when it's indeed a team. They are legitimately a team. They should be called a team name. And I don't count when they were with AJ Styles and were the Club. I don't count that as a team name. That's a faction name. There's two differences to those, okay? But they should call them the Good Brothers. That's my little rant to start. So I'm sure there's going to be more for that.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you should go to feedback.ww.com, voice your opinion, because I actually agree with you. The Good Brothers are the new thing in professional wrestling, and we will not settle until they're called the Good Brothers.
I tried getting the hashtag going. I'll keep going with it on Twitter, and hopefully eventually it'll pick up that momentum. I mean, they wear the GB for life, at least one of them, I'm sorry, does on his gear, so that's a start. That's what the GB stands for, so... There's a good starting point.
Which, you know, the one thing I'm surprised about is sometimes on their knee pads it says BC, but they don't have the rights to Bullet Club.
Well, I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily BC because if you looked on Carl Anderson's knee pads, it has KA on there. So I'm wondering if Luke Gallows is actually the LG. But with the way that they move, it could come off as a B and a C. Especially where the G would look like a C for Gallows. I don't know. I mean, I honestly haven't ever looked that closely, but now I'm kind of intrigued, so I might actually go back and do that later. I actually just finished the kickoff show right before we came on because I had some prior engagements to take care of today, so I didn't get to watch the kickoff show live. I had to go back and watch it.
Okay, moving on. Ladies and gentlemen, our next match is called Squash Match City, bitch.
Yeah, that was
the first ever thing that I've ever seen Sasha Banks job to somebody, which I honestly thought we would have had a better match there. And instead, it was Nia Jax basically squashing Sasha Banks, which I had so high hopes for that match until it was a legit squash match. What do you have to say about that?
Well, my first question is, why were you expecting high hopes from a pre-show match? I mean, you were already let down one time by the women's match. I don't know why the second one would have been any better.
Well, here's the thing. They told a great story with Nia and Sasha the past couple weeks. You would have thought that would have been on the main card and not the pre-show, but instead they turned it into a squash match, which I just hope we have an actual wrestling caliber match between the two rather than another squash.
Well, I don't even – I mean, can you really call that a good build, though? I mean, that was still – what? They had a month to prepare for it, and the best we got was an injury angle of Sasha's leg. You know, that really wasn't put into question. It's not like she competed. I don't think she did at all, or if she did, very little some between Roadblock and now for the Rumble. So, I mean, it wasn't like you could have done something where there was attacks from behind all the time. I know they had the one that was supposed to be staged before the show, which that was a good idea. I don't think I've ever seen something of that nature happen where it was done inside the ring before a show started. I thought that was pretty clever as opposed to a backstage segment or a backstage attack. But beyond that, there wasn't really any other kind of build for it. You can't really... build off just the one time where you see her leg in a brace And then when she's trying to run the ropes to get back into form, I don't know. I couldn't really invest in the feud. It had the potential to be something good. Just I wasn't really invested in it. Didn't really care who won that one, to be perfectly frank. I think it's a shame that Sasha was just on the pre-show, period. Why? This girl was on the main show, what, last 5 months running? What's the deal?
Well, I honestly don't know the answer to that. But moving on from that, let's go to the main show. Bayley versus Charlotte. You know, those women, they put on a great match. The natural selection on the LED board, perfect. That was very perfect. I mean, Bayley gave her a fight. I could have seen that match going either way. But with Miss Charlotte Flair being the queen of pay-per-view, we would understand why they booked it that way.
Sure, sure. Which, I mean, I had already called that anyway. I figured Charlotte was going to win that match to start. But it definitely is a great matchup between the two girls to put on, especially to start off the show. And I really, really hope that this is not actually going to be the last time that they're on the pay-per-view. I know that at one point there was rumors of this going all the way until Mania, and I honestly think it should. They had kind of teased some involvement with Stephanie McMahon, and I really hope that that comes to fruition too. I see so much more that can be done with that story, and I hope it's not just wasted on this on one pay-per-view match and that's it. I think it can go for at least two more. So.
Well, I do have a credible source, according to Dave Meltzer. This is going to go to Mania,
mm-hmm.
but at Mania, it will be the first ever ladies' ladder match between Charlotte and Bayley for Bayley to finally have her moment at Mania, winning that Divas title.
That's cool. I mean, that's cool. That's absolutely awesome that Bayley would have her moment there. I don't know about the ladder match thing. It will definitely be interesting if that comes to fruition. I don't know. I really am, now I have mixed feelings on that. I don't know how I would feel about the ladder match.
Well,
it was kind of along the lines of the Hell in
the Cell. If they're going to do a ladder match, why not just incorporate two when you could incorporate all of them?
I totally see that, especially after what I was saying before with the Hell in the Cell match with Banks and Charlotte in October. They had the one messed up. They had the one messed up spot at the very end where apparently Sasha was supposed to go through the table and she unfortunately did not. I don't know. I think it would benefit more if they had more of the women's Raw roster on there to go into the match. And like you said, and kind of do a multiple ladies ladder match, make it more so like a Money in the Bank or what we've seen in the last two Manias. They have had a ladder match for the Intercontinental title. Go ahead and throw more women into it, you know, make it interesting. But also I see the good route of keeping it one-on-one. You know, I think that still can tell a story itself.
Oh yeah. Yeah. True. Now, let's move on to what I call Shock of the Night, the Universal Championship match between Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. Did you see that ending coming? Because I was losing it throughout that whole match. I mean, there were insane spots. We got an erector set of chairs, which I would have rather seen Reigns go through that just to make the crowd happy. But
sure.
The ending was just so perfect because Strowman versus Reigns would be a perfect match for WrestleMania, but I don't think we're getting that. But we may get it at Fastlane. We may get it at Mania. Who knows? But it was just the perfect ending, plus the spots in that, the chairs, the tables. It was just a remarkable no disqualification match, and it was perfect involvement with Jericho dropping brass knuckles down to Owens, because I'm like, he's either going to drop the list or brass knuckles, and frankly, it was just genius moving by Jericho and Kevin Owens doing the Superman punch. That was just beyond me. I don't know what the build was for that match was, but it was truly great, a great match all around for a no disqualification match.
Yeah, the spots were wonderful. I mean, I think the reason they had to make it no DQ is because a lot of people were kind of getting disinterested with the whole story. Because honestly, kind of like you were saying, was there really any buildup for it? Or like you were saying, you didn't know what the buildup was. I don't think a lot of people did. Just because what more of the story can you tell? Roman Reigns, okay, you know, Jericho's cost him the match. Well, he cost Rollins a match too. So it's kind of like, where was the justice for Rollins? There was no justice there, but yet somehow Reigns gets another rematch for it. I'm not really going to buy that. But the no DQ stipulation was great. No, I didn't see the Strowman thing coming at all. I was one of these guys that was thinking that somehow, some way, Jericho was going to get involved anyway. As weird as it may sound, and him hanging in a shark cage, there was still a part of me that thought, maybe there's some way that they're going to incorporate Jericho in this. I don't know how, but I was like, yeah, it's going to happen. And I was actually very thrilled to see Strowman come in there and do that. And hopefully it does build for Reigns and Strowman for at least Fastlane. I think that's a good feud to start for a little bit. But I'm sure we're going to have more to talk about Roman Reigns a little bit later, because God knows I do.
I understand where you're probably coming from, because I do have a lot to say about that too. It kind of scared me but we're not getting into that yet, because you see, you gotta build this up correctly, because we are moving on to Neville versus Rich Swann for the Cruiserweight Championship. Now, this is what you're waiting for. This is where you get to hear me rant.
Okay.
Okay, here's my problem. Why would you have a Cruiserweight Classic where it was predominantly wrestling? It was the most fantastic thing ever, and then you bring on this crap. You just bring on this crap where they're only having 2 to 3 minute matches, the stories are awful, and you give them your own show where we're like, we're just going to treat you the same like we're going to do on Raw. But then this match, they get to showcase everything, and these other cruiserweights are probably sitting in the back, this sucks. They let them do that. Why can't we do that on Raw? I mean, it's just an outrage. You give them all this credit in the summer with the Cruiserweight Classic, and then you bring it to Raw, it's crap. And then you have this match, and they're like putting on a 5-star Cruiserweight match. Well, where was this all along when they started on Raw?
Mm-hmm. I totally can see the argument, and I definitely can agree with the majority of that statement. Only because of the fact that I'm one of these, I'll still refer to myself as a kid. I can't help but agree, only because I grew up with the original Cruiserweights with WCW. I was a WCW fan growing up as a child, so I got to see all the Cruiserweights. And to list a few of them out right off the bat, obviously Rey Mysterio when he was still coming out as Rey Mysterio Jr., Psychosis, La Parca, Juventud Guerrera. I got to watch all those guys. So as a fan, when I heard the Cruiserweight Classic was coming, I was like you, extremely happy. And that was one of the best put together tournaments in a wrestling format, a pro wrestling format, I should say, that I've ever seen. That was one of the greatest things that they could have done, especially in the summertime. Like you said, they put on 5-star matches, put on a heck of a tournament to go on. They create the Cruiserweight title. They bring it back. And then all of a sudden they throw them on Raw to basically be fillers. And it's horrible to see, because it's like you're saying, the stories aren't good for the most part. Now, I get a kick out of Jack Gallagher personally. Everything that kid does is gold, okay? I have nothing but good things about Jack Gallagher, in my opinion.
He's the only reason
Neville,
I watched 205 Live, honestly, and the Cruiserweight Division.
Him and Neville both have given me hope that there's going to be some kind of Cruiserweight rejuvenation, or even when Austin Aries eventually goes into the division, which they've hinted around that a dozen different times, that it's almost a guarantee that it'll happen. When and where, that's kind of the that's the big mystery that I really hope eventually won't be much of a mystery, because I think a Neville and Austin Aries feud could be absolutely golden for that cruiserweight division, and it could really bring back that division to its apex of saying, hey, this is something we need to invest a little bit more time with. Preferably, I really wish they would have brought the cruiserweight division back over to SmackDown instead of filling it over on Raw, where it was going to be wasted to begin with. It was, to me, there was no other thing that they would do. I mean, there's already so much over there. Women's title, tag team that has a pretty good stable tag team division over there. You've got the now the Universal title, okay? The United States Championship is over there as well. You already had a pretty solid book show. Why are you going to throw a division over there that really needs more spotlight, as opposed to throwing it over on a three-hour brand that people really turn the channel on at times because of the fact it is 3 hours long and it's horrible to watch for 3 hours? Go back to two.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that statement. They do need to go to 2 hours. I can't even watch 3 hours anymore. But anyway, moving on, because we have about 8 minutes, 30 seconds. Fans, if you're just tuning in, this is the War Room with me and my brand new host, Travis Salhar, who probably just earned him the permanent host position because he is giving it all. It's on the money with everything he's saying. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like you to bring the new host. Give him a warm welcome. This is Travis Salhar.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Thank you. The compliment's wonderful. I can't help but be honored, and I appreciate that distinguishment right there. So thank you again. I can't say it enough.
Yeah, anytime. When I was writing this whole thing for the War Room, I said, who would be perfect to bring on? And you were the first to come to mind. Probably Burnham wouldn't have stayed up late to do this, but you were the first to come to mind.
Well, I'm not going to say anything bad on Burnham.
I'm not saying anything bad about Burnham. I love the guy.
Oh, no, no.
Still, you and I, it needs to happen. You and I need to do commentary at one point. I will say that.
I'm sure it'll happen. I'm sure there's going to be
time
and a place for that.
But just the chemistry during this episode, I'm like, now commentary between you and I definitely needs to happen.
Oh, yeah. We'll get there. I'm pretty sure of it at this point.
Oh, yeah. You just got to let me know when and where when it's on. All right, moving on. John Cena, AJ Styles, WWE Championship. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to have to make a bold comment here. I think this was one of the best ones they've had so far. Right? Do you agree on that?
I don't even think it's one of. I think it is the best one that they've had. I'm an AJ Styles fan. Okay, I don't mean to cut you off here, but I'm gonna preface this before we go any further. I'm an AJ Styles fan, and yet I was not mad to see him lose because that match was so good. I have nothing bad to say. Only thing I can say is two words: instant classic.
Oh yeah.
Congrats,
oh,
Cena.
Yeah. The submission teaser?
He deserves it.
Yes. Yeah, the submission teases they've had throughout the whole match. I thought we would have been extending this to Mania because they really need to have a 60-minute Iron Man match. It needs to happen.
I think 60 minutes maybe for the two of them wouldn't be a bad idea, but I also don't necessarily think it would be the greatest idea. But I do want to say that there is, in my opinion now, this is just my opinion, there's no more argument. John Cena is the greatest of all time. I'm throwing that out there now.
I definitely agree with that statement wholeheartedly. I mean, Cena actually, he erased all of his doubts tonight. I mean, that match, there's so much we could say. We could go on for an hour about that match. I mean, everything, the false finishes, the psychology of the match, the build of the match, it was just so good. Plus, two attitude adjustments to finish it off. Two in a row. Have you ever seen Cena do that?
I don't recall him doing two attitude adjustments in a row. What I do think was absolutely awesome that I have never seen him do before was that flip into the second one. That was ingenious of him. I don't necessarily want to go on a rant just because of the amount of time we've got. about the fact that the false finishes is unfortunately being stifled and has made finishes worthless now. I was actually talking about that with a friend of mine. I can go on about that, and that'll be for another time. But, yeah, beyond that, yes, the false finishes were good up to a certain point. The super attitude adjustment false finish was beautifully done and executed. Caught me off guard. But the two finishes there at the end, the two AAs to Styles, it was great to wrap it up that way.
All right, moving on. The Royal Rumble match, and now we can get to Remember the Rumble Facts with Sal Hark and Clayton. Remember the Rumble Fact number one. The most times that a superstar or superstars were spending time outside the ring.
I completely forgot about Jericho multiple times during that match. He was there and then he wasn't. And then he was there and then he wasn't. And my own girlfriend was pointing that out to me. She was like, but Jericho's still there, isn't it? I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. That was interesting.
All right. Remember the Rumble fact number two. Brock Lesnar was actually in there. But no. No, I'm not going to say that because I'm not going to say Goldberg 3-0. I'm not going to say that because that still was gold that he eliminated Brock Lesnar. But we're actually going to change Remember the Rumble fact number two. Remember the Rumble fact number two. There was no surprise entrance besides Ty Dillinger. I mean, everyone saw that coming at number 10. I mean,
yeah.
But that leads into Remember the Rumble fact number three. The entrant number 10 finally actually has a gimmick that goes with the number 10.
Sure. But that's an obvious one. We all knew that one was coming. So,
there really wasn't any surprises. I was expecting Finn Balor. I was suspecting Samoa Joe. Something crazy.
That was who I was thinking, too. I was thinking Joe, too, and I was disappointed that he didn't show.
Yeah, they're talking about all this monster push, and yet they don't use him.
Well, let's not discredit it yet. Things can happen come Tuesday, so you never know. And I say Tuesday because I don't want him on Raw. That's just my own personal preference.
Okay, moving on. Remember the Rumble fact number four. The first time we've actually had the Battle of the Beards between two men of the same size. Except, honestly, you can't have Battle of the Beards without Burnham because all I could do during that stare down with Big Show and Braun Strowman was Burnham in the middle of the whole thing. I'm sorry, but that's all I could think about, and I just died laughing during that. I said, just see Chris Burnham in the middle of this, and then they just throw him out.
I mean, it definitely would have made for something interesting. Compared to those two monsters' beards, though, I think they would just kind of look back at each other and being like, hey, "That's still child's play. Let's go."
Yeah. Okay. Thoughts, Roman Reigns. Let's go. This was not the number 30. I was not expecting it to be Roman Reigns. And what scared me was about Roman Reigns was because I'm like, if he wins it, I'm not going to watch it anymore. I said, please tell me they're not going to go with Roman Reigns winning the Rumble.
Well, especially because it would have already been his second Rumble win within 3 years. And, I mean, I don't know what our limits are necessarily on the show. I won't say anything in regards to foul. But, there, if you could hear it, which you could, plain as day, fans were chanting, this is BS, upset. I was like, this is BS. I was like, number 30? Really? You had so much time.
Finn Balor. You could have had Seth Rollins. You could have done something with Rollins and Triple H. They just wasted the surprises. I was expecting Jerry Lawler to go against Dolph Ziggler at one point. I was expecting Rollins and Triple H. His Rumble match was a letdown, but I was happy Orton won.
I can't even say that either.
Okay, we have 20 seconds left. Are we going to roll this over, do you think?
I think we're going to have to because I would like to explain why I'm not happy about the Orton win. And I don't think we can get that done in 20, now maybe 15 seconds.
In 5 seconds. Folks, this has been our show. Thank you. Good night. We'll be back momentarily.